You're listening to KTWHLP 99.5 FM in Two Harbors.
Hello, and welcome back to Listener's Voices, a fledgling show that we're bringing to you. My name is Frances, and I'm here with my co-host.
That would be me, Fran.
So this would be episode 4 of our program, in which we solicit responses from the listeners to questions or prompts, whichever form it takes. And this week, our prompt is, what businesses do you miss in Two Harbors from days gone by? Or what businesses would you like to see coming to Two Harbors in the future?
Right. And in the interest of full transparency, this is kind of like Groundhog Day for Frances and me. We already did this episode a couple of days ago, but due to some mysterious technological wizardry and mischief on the part of the computers here, that pre-recorded program disappeared. And so here we are doing it live for you on this Saturday morning.
So despite the best laid plans of mice and men, we were trying to get everything taken care of so that we could more seamlessly achieve a regular program in which we are going to have many combinations of co-hosts. So if you stay tuned for the future, you're going to be hearing potential multiple combinations of people that we have interested in getting this writers/commenters show on the road.
Right. In fact, you already heard Jane Timke on episode 1.
Yes.
And we'll hear from her again and others, I'm sure.
Well, I will speak something that she sent in written form. That is, it's always good to hear from Jane.
Right. So this, just briefly, this is modeled after a program we learned about out from Gualala, California, KGUA Writers Program, and did air in this slot for several months. If you miss it, you can find it on SoundCloud. And we hope to run it again here. We're temporarily suspending it to make room for our own show here. But the personnel committee, we don't have a personnel committee. it's known as the programming committee, has yet to meet and figure out what slot we can return that to if we so decide. But they take submissions to weekly prompts. And you can, if you're a writer that just can't hold yourself back or considering being a writer, or you don't have to be a writer either, but their email address is kguawriters@gmail.com. You can email them and get on their list for the weekly prompts. And in our case, we encourage you to send an email to ktwhwriters@gmail.com to get on our email list or ask any questions, whatever you'd like to know about this show.
And you can submit your responses there, as well as video recordings from which you can use your smartphone to clip a little video recording and send it to our email address.
Or better yet, maybe an audio recording. But
I'm sorry. Yeah. Video doesn't do us much good here.
Yeah. Maybe we could wangle getting them on the Facebook page or something, but we haven't gone to that step yet. So, but yeah, a voice memo on smartphones can be easily emailed. And that's... we have just one or two of those this week. No, we have several of them.
Several. Yeah. I really enjoy hearing from people in their own words.
That's the point. One of the points of this is to hear from more of you without you having to come into the studio or do any training or anything. We want to hear our listeners' voices, either literally or, if necessary, we'll read what you submit. So let's see. Starting off here this week, Richmond very helpfully managed to capture lots of input from among his friends, and we're going to start out with one here. This is the group from Bayview. Again, we've heard from them before. There's Lil, Jen, and Maggie. There might be others. I'm not sure captured in this, but it's interesting because they have lived here decades, if not all their lives. and remember some of the businesses from way back that will get mentioned here. And I may have some follow-up on them after we listen to this. Any clarifications? Let's hear from Lil et al. From Bayview.
Okay, so we're at Bayview Terrace. This is your roving reporter, Richmond, and we're asking folks here, in the bygone days, what businesses do you miss in Two Harbors, and what businesses would you like to see come to Two Harbors?
Okay, Lil. Okay.
You would like to go first?
Go ahead. I miss the clothing stores, the shoe stores, and the drug stores, and Ben Franklin.
All right.
Yes. We had a lot of them here at one time, and we need more.
And what would you like to see come here?
Well, even the dollar store.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Dollar store is like...
And Jen?
Yeah, dollar store. I'll work with that one.
Okay. And what businesses do you miss?
Well, all of those. All that little...
All she said?
Yeah.
Okay.
And more grocery stores. Maybe a smaller grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And a hardware store.
Yeah.
That we can afford.
Okay.
I agree with what they're saying. Yeah. We had the Ben Franklin, and we had Laura Lee's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a bakery.
Oh, bakery.
We did
a
couple bakery stores here.
Yes, we had three bakeries.
Three bakeries at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I worked at one.
Yeah.
Bullcraft.
Men's clothing.
Men's clothing?
Men's clothing.
We had a shoe store.
Shoe stores.
We
need something because people are going out of town shopping. They go to Duluth, one or two cars go down, they spend $200-$300 in Duluth. Why can't that money be here?
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Maggie, anything you want to say?
I agree with them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you. This was really enlightening.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, Rob was here last week.
Yes.
He had a request for something, but we won't say that.
Yeah.
I guess they're leaving that up to our imaginations, whatever Rob had to suggest. So, believe it or not, for you relative newcomers, all those places, almost all the places that those women mentioned, the clothing stores, shoe stores, drug store, there were two of them, and men's clothing stores, they were all on that one block of First Avenue between, from Harbor Rail down to the Madeira restaurant, that one block on both sides of the street. Just amazing. And two bakeries on that one street. We'll hear more about the bakeries later, too. So I guess we'll move on here. Tom, also from Bayview, he's an employee there. He had interesting things to suggest.
So I'd like to see more services available, more of the service industry, so being able to have helpers, because I think that a lot of the aging population still wants to be able to live independently, and we just don't have things set up to allow that to happen all the time. I realize that we do have a couple different places, such as the Community Partners, but there is such a huge need. I would love to see more of those types of services come in and do these types of things.
So support care for elders and
support
others?
Support care, for everyone. It's not just seniors, but it's also anybody that doesn't have the physical capabilities of doing things while they're recovering from a surgery or anything like that.
Right.
But in order to have that, we do need to have labor force housing. And right now we just are getting to the point where their housing is no longer priced in a place that we could have both of those things happening, where we can afford to have a person move in and be able to have them be that service person, service coordinator for people.
Right.
So that's my thought. 2 cents worth.
Great.
It's worth about half the
price. That's a whole nickel's worth. All right. Thank you, Tom from Bayview.
You're welcome.
And thank you Richmond for all of your friends and your recording capabilities. So that is a really good idea. And I think there may be such a business in town now, that, but we'll have to find out some more about it before we share the details on that. Also, the housing thing, of course, is a big subject of conversation and deliberation, and there's more in the paper about it. Actually, a couple of different stories in the papers about it this week. So that's one of the main obstacles, I guess, to getting more small businesses in town and the businesses that are here surviving. We'll hear about that actually in the next one. We're hearing from Lana, and she refers to one of the local small businesses that's sorely missed by several people, many people.
Hello, listeners of Two Harbor. This is your roving reporter, Richie Rich, sitting here with my friend Lana, asking the question, Lana, what businesses do you miss from the bygone days, and what other businesses would you like to see come to Two Harbors?
Oh, fun. Okay, so I've only been up here for about 7 years, so I haven't been here a real long time, but one business I do really miss is Danny's Auto. They were so great. They were so convenient and, like, just really great to work with. And it was very sad when they closed their doors. So, but as far as businesses coming in, I'm really excited about the new Mocha Moose little coffee shop coming in the Scenic. I'm not sure when it's supposed to open. And also, as the local acupuncturist, I'm going to be moving into a new building in the new wellness building on 7th Avenue Laugham. So, of course, I'm very excited about that.
Thank you, Lana.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that new wellness center is going to be quite an asset to the community.
Yes.
Can't believe how fast it went up. It is directly across from Vanilla Bean. If you're wondering, there isn't any signage yet, but what all types of businesses will be in that, Frances?
Well, I did hear from Lana. She followed up with a list of names. Heaven's Earth Massage. There will be yoga classes. There will be space for events and a boutique, basically multi-purpose use space, as well as Lana's acupuncture business.
Mm-hmm. So when I first heard event space, I thought of, like, performance space, but I think maybe it's more you could rent it for your wedding receptions and that kind of thing, but we'll have to find out as it evolves.
There's, I would assume that there's a need for any kind of space to be rented for get-togethers or classes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe meetings that need to happen beyond the hours that some of the more public places are available.
I'm really looking forward to seeing.
Right. Yeah, that's quite an innovation for the community, and I think will be quite well received.
Good on you, ladies.
Right. Yeah, the woman from Department 2 is one of the people who is the driving force behind that. I think that's great. Well, Richmond also sent in a transcript of a couple conversations he had with more of his friends. Several people involved here will try to keep you up on who's saying what. And they mentioned several businesses, which after we complete this transcript, then I'm going to do a little bit of a follow-up on some of them and telling you, in case you didn't know, where they were and some a little more information on them. But there's some history here, too. So Elaine, my voice mostly is Elaine through this conversation. So it's a couple of times I'll take on the persona of Brian. We have Elaine, Brian, Dale, Cherie, and I think there was one, Dale. Yeah, I mentioned Dale. Anyway, so Elaine starts out. I miss Pomida, True Value, and Hardee's, I guess. I miss the old True Value. You could go in there and get anything you wanted, and there you knew where it was. Ben Franklin.
Brian, Central Sales.
Isn't that where the big guy was?
Yeah, that's where Pierre was, Central Sales. It was almost a secondhand.
It was like this and that. They had clothing.
Anybody know what it was before that?
What was it before that, Dale?
It was a museum.
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut.
And then Brian says, you ask what business we miss? I miss people minding their own business. That got a response of laughter.
Portside Pizza.
It was really cool. They had arcades for kids. You could rent a computer to use for the afternoon. It was a really cool place to work. I liked it.
The bowling alley. I miss that, too.
I was there the last night when they shut it down.
I'd like the bowling alley back, but I doubt it will happen.
Back to Elaine now. It would be nice if we had a public swimming pool. I know where I'm from out on the West Coast, they have all sorts of public swimming pools, indoor and outdoor.
Brian says there is one in Grand Marais.
Really?
Yeah. And then Richmond adds, I'd like to see a hot tub and whirlpool somewhere.
Without renting a room?
I thought about going to Superior Shores.
Sherry contributes, they won't let you rent there.
If you have a local license, they won't let you rent a room anymore.
I think a lot of people already knew that. Yeah, it's been a while now.
Yeah, a guy I worked with at the time, he was there to rent a room because his kid had multiple sclerosis, cerebral palsy or multiple sclerosis, and his kid loved to swim. And it was good for his physical therapy, but they won't rent him a room because other locals had partied there. He probably did too when he was younger, but they wouldn't rent him a room. I guess the town really got on Superior Shores after that. But they still won't let it happen.
They might take you up at one of those other hotels down here. The one by McDonald's, they'll let you take a shower and stuff like that. The Country Inn. They do therapy up there with the physical therapists. You could get your doctor to refer you for therapy. And then Richmond ends up with, I miss having no tub. It really soothes my aches and pains. I think he meant he missed having a tub.
I certainly miss having a tub.
Yeah, that's nothing compares, especially for aches and pains, right? And there's another short conversation here with Richmond and Sabria and Darius and Storm and Andy. So Richmond starts out, Sabria, what business would you like to see come to Two Harbors?
And Sabria adds, a bowling alley or Chinese buffet. Does Two Harbors have a Huckabee's restaurant?
Darius says, a Hardee's. I'd like to have a Hardee's, that's all.
Storm adds, a dollar store, a dollar general, or a movie theater. 4 votes for a movie theater and a dollar store.
And lastly, Andy pitches in, Walmart, Chick-fil-A. So, speaking of the movie theater, and then we're going to get back to several of the other places they mentioned too. Of course, we have a movie theater. As far as I know, it's a functional movie theater. It was the venue for the very first cabin fever reliever that the Two Harbors Community Radio sponsored. It was about 6 months before we actually went on the air back in 2015. And the theater seats 150. We had it full to the brim. The lobby was packed with people, and they were spilling out onto the street. And it was really fun. So we thought the next year we'll be able to accommodate more if we have two shows in one day.
Wow.
So there was a matinee and then an evening show. About half of the performers were the same for both, and then a different half for the other half, both those shows. It was probably twice as much work, and we ended up making about the same amount of money from it. So we learned a lesson there. But since then, it hasn't been available to use, and so we moved to the high school auditorium, for which we are grateful to have that venue, but it's never been quite the same in my mind because we don't even half fill. It seats 750 people in that auditorium, and we get what is for us a relatively good turnout, but it's still, if the room is only half full, it's not quite the same vibe.
Well, those of us who come must fill the room with our enthusiasm.
Absolutely, and I think this year might be, we might exceed our record turnout because with the Native American Expo happening before it for a couple hours.
It's
really
quite an interesting mix of event.
Yeah, and I just will mention that if you were listening in the last hour, you heard Leo's interview about the Hempcrete initiative by the Lower Sioux community, which will be present at the Native American Expo next Sunday, week from Sunday the 10th. And his interview is already posted on our website, and there are links to more information, including a video with Mr. Desjarlais showing the process and him talking about the business. So I encourage you to go to our website, ktwh.org. Under the programs drop-down is a KTWH weekly interview roundup, and it would be top on that list right now. So a little shameless plug there for the station.
It's a fascinating thing to learn about.
Yeah, yeah. This actually, I believe, I mean, I've heard of many different uses for hemp, but this is the first one, this particular application that I've learned about, and it is it sounds like a really good thing. So let's see. Oh, getting back to the businesses that they mentioned here. Pomida, if that didn't connect for you, Pomida was succeeded by ShopCo. And then when many ShopCos in the region, almost all of them, maybe all of them by now, closed down, it was vacant for a while. And that is where the True Value Hardware has established itself now. So right next to Super One. Used to have a Pomida back in the day.
Is Seagren's a True Value Hardware?
Yes. Yep. The Hardee's used to be, I was going to look up the name of that beauty salon. It might be Envy, but if I'm...
Yes.
Is it? Oh, okay. Yeah, behind, or inland, or no, it's not inland.
On the same parking lot as...
Right, on the lakeside of Burlington Station. There used to be a Hardee's there. I used to get my breakfast biscuits there. And there used to be, I'm sure there still are little clubs of men hanging out in the morning. I think there's certainly some at Judy's now, but there used to be quite a fixture in Hardee's every morning of retired guys hanging out, having their coffee. What else? Ben Franklin was on First Avenue on the north side, next to the drugstore, which used to be on the corner across the street from the post office. I think would be called a variety store. Just notions, lots of odds and ends you could get, yard goods. Was there for decades, I believe, and that was a big loss when that went. Then Central Sales, probably many people may be mystified by that. It was in that where the big guy was, as Elaine put it. The big guy being Pantless Pierre, whom you now can see out by the Earthwood restaurant on the expressway on the way into town. So Pantless Pierre used to stand in what is now the parking lot for O'Reilly's Auto Parts. And behind it was a long one-story building that Central Sales was kind of like a surplus store. Just odds and ends, all very useful, functional stuff. And I guess it was called Central Sales. There was a Central Sales in Duluth. I don't know if this was a branch of it. It was just like that store out in West Duluth on Central Avenue, as a matter of fact. And part of the shtick there, well, I guess this goes back to what was the museum before Central Sales. Pantless Pierre had a loudspeaker in his mouth, and people would bring their kids into the Central Sales store, and the kids would be browsing around, and the parents would tell the proprietor something about the kids, their names, or if it was their birthday or whatever. And then when they're going back out of the store, Pantless Pierre would speak to the kids.
As if he knew them.
Right, yeah, as if he's all-knowing. That would have been fun to see. I'd never witnessed that. I well remember him standing in that parking lot and the Central Sales. I don't know that I knew about the museum before that, and we're looking for more information about that. If anybody can enlighten us about the history of the museum that predated Central Sales, that predated O'Reilly Auto Parts, please let us know. I'm not too early, maybe, again, to mention our email address is ktwhwriters, W-R-I-T-E-R-S, @gmail.com. You can get more information about our show, you can get on our email list, and you can inform us of things like the history of Central Sales and the museum or anything that we are misstating or errors we have made. Please let us know. One more thing, we welcome other ideas for prompts as well, questions of the week. But getting back here, Pizza Hut used to be in the building that is now Ruth's Gourmet Foods, whatever the name of it is. It's not, it's where they manufacture their foods. It's not well signed because they don't invite people to go
there. Is
that
next to the Voyager Motel?
I believe it would.
Between that and O'Reilly?
There's that Agate store.
Mm.
So I can't remember actually the order there. But it does, you can look at the profile of the building, does look like a Pizza Hut still. Portside Pizza, Cherie mentioned, that is, used to be down where the Thirsty Mosquito is now. And it was a huge building. As Brian mentioned, they had arcades for kids. I remember having meetings. It was a big, nice, medium-sized room for having meetings of 20 or 30 people at a time.
A real gathering place and useful.
Yeah, yep, it was. And they had really good pizza.
Well, it's the Tipsy Mosquito. And
all right.
I wonder if their space could be used for multiple purposes. Perhaps we'll have to ask.
Right, I think I have heard of meetings happening there. Right. Anything else? I think that covers...
Ben Franklin. I'm not familiar with that store name.
Oh, yep. That's we'll hear that mentioned again, too. So kind of the variety store. There's nothing really to compare it to now. Kind of like a much reduced version of a Target, but without all the clothing. Certainly no groceries, but all the other odds and ends of life. There used to be one in Kenwood, in Duluth, and I wonder if there are any anywhere anymore. I'm not sure.
So who do we have next?
Let's see here. Moving on. This is Leo, and Leo reminded me of a restaurant that anyone who would remember it would be sorely missing. I do, but it's been decades since it was there. Let's listen to Leo.
In response to this week's prompt about what business would you want to bring back from days gone by, well, I haven't really been here long enough to qualify for days gone by perspective. I arrived here in the fall of 1981, and I was recovering from spending my first 25 years in central New Jersey in the suburbs, and the North Shore was a new horizon for me, one that was pretty lacking in some of the culinary delights of Italian-American cuisine. Pizza of my youth was not found here. But back in the cobwebs of my temporal lobe, I recall that there was this wood-paneled, railroad-themed, sidetrack pizza restaurant. They hosted some concerts, and one I do recall was the well-known Rosalie Sorrell's. This place, my memories of being there are quite vague, but I do remember that I believe this is the delightful home of the first sauerkraut-topped pizza I consumed in my life. I'm not sure, but I believe that this highly flammable pizza cafe, the Sidetrack, burned down in the mid-1980s or so. It was located right about where the Scenic Highway now butts up to the lake side of Sanju's campus outside of town. And I do recall a bakery on First Avenue that was still going when I moved here and wasn't around for very long after I got here. But independent bakeries are emporiums of delight to me, and I so miss their presence in our small towns and would welcome a quality bakery to return to our fair city. A boy can dream, can't he?
He certainly can. In fact, there used to be three bakeries in town at one time, I'm told.
Well, I will dream of one at least returning.
Right, right. We have a lot of good sweet things baked in town at least two establishments I can think of right offhand. But you can't go in and buy a good loaf of sourdough bread or that kind of thing. And, yep, would love to see that return. So, oh, the Sidetrack, right. That, as he mentioned, it used to be down where the Sanju is now, and some great music concerts there. Anybody that's we haven't heard from Bill Staines for a while now, but anybody who's been around in this area for a few decades will remember the name Bill Staines, and I got to see him perform in person there. And it was a sad thing when that establishment burned. Oh, I was trying to remember the last couple of days another name that hasn't come up among any of our contributors yet, but the Dixie used to be a restaurant about 6 miles up Highway 2 from the Holiday Station on the east end of town there. And they had some great...
What kind of restaurant?
Well, sort of like the Earthwood, I guess, if just, you know, not anything ethnic or anything, just... And I don't actually even remember what I used to get there, but it was good food and just a nice alternative. And it had a long history, much longer than I was aware of. I remember when it burned, I believe Jackie Renwald, who was on the volunteer team here at KTWH at that time, may have even gone up there. She did an interview with somebody about it afterwards, and that was another sad day. Has never been replaced. There's just a couple gas pumps up there right now. So... anything else I wanted to add here? Let me see if I had any notes. I don't think so. The sauerkraut. He mentioned the sauerkraut on the pizza. So I just had to give a plug. We are pretty well staffed with pizza places in town now. But I do have to mention one that serves on request a pizza with Alfredo sauce, sauerkraut, and garlic, extra garlic. Oh, it is so good. And I never used to like sauerkraut. Even when I was introduced to this, I still didn't like sauerkraut, but on that pizza, I do. And then I've since been introduced to homemade sauerkraut.
It must be homemade sauerkraut then.
Yes. Maybe that's what makes the difference,
Different animal.
And I will mention this that it's Due North Pizza down just below the Harbor Rail and Louise's. There's also a Domino's Pizza in town, and the cafe, North Something Cafe, right on 7th Avenue next to Vanilla Bean. They make a good pizza, too.
A pizza cafe, yes.
Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Right, so just so as not to be preferential,
mm-hmm.
they're all good pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I don't miss Pizza Hut being gone. I think our own local answers are very good ones, good alternatives. Here we have what Richmond had to say himself after talking to everybody else he knows on this subject.
In response to the prompt, what businesses would I like to see return from bygone days, and what businesses would I like to see happen in Two Harbors now? Well, for the first part of the prompt, I haven't been in Two Harbors long enough to have any bygone businesses to mention, but I hear that there are many that people are very thoughtful about in their responses. As far as new businesses, I'd like to see a Mexican restaurant or East Indian cookery cuisine. Perhaps maybe some food trucks down at the breakwall to bring people down there to enjoy the beauties of Agate Bay and all it has to offer.
I love that idea.
Me too. As a matter of fact, doesn't Castle Janger have food trucks that frequent their
lot? In the summer
lot?
They do.
Okay.
I think maybe most weekends they have some there.
Perhaps we can entice others to come on different days of the week then.
Right, and to have them right down, of course, the whole waterfront planning
mm-hmm.
thing, we won't wade into those waters right now, but it would seem like a good place to have just some pads with power access for food trucks, a little more accessible to the parking lot, breakwater, boat launch area somewhere. Maybe somebody's thinking about that somewhere.
I look forward to the plans for the breakwater, yes.
Great, yeah, that may be a whole nother... As the planning
episode.
Process gets farther along, maybe we can contribute to that somehow with getting people's input. They did a great job with the survey so far, but it is a work in progress. We can add to it. Lastly here from Becky mentioned some of the older places that she remembers, and I don't recall what else, so we'll listen to it and find out.
Thinking about businesses I miss in Two Harbors. This is Becky. I moved to Two Harbors in 1994 and to the North Shore in 1992. So I remember shopping at IGA, which was where Auto Value is now. And I remember going to Laura Lee Clothing and Department Store. And I remember enjoying the former drugstore where Superior Finds is now. I don't remember when it stopped being a drugstore. I'm not sure if that was still going when I first moved or not. But even after it stopped having the pharmacy, it was a fun store to go in. And I have a pair of shoes that I purchased at Ray's Shoe Emporium. And that space became part of Seagren's and is now vacant, and we'll see what comes next. The one I miss the most is the Ben Franklin. I really liked just going and poking around in the Ben Franklin. It was a great place to get craft supplies. I really appreciated that it had a fabric department. It was just a fun store, and I was really, really sad when that closed. Thank you, Two Harbors.
Thank you for your memories, Becky and everyone. The Ben Franklin also used to be a drop-off place for UPS, I believe. She mentioned the drugstore. There used to be two drugstores, if you can imagine, right across the street from each other. The Harbor Rail, what's now the Harbor Rail, was a drugstore, and then Superior Finds, as she mentioned. And then, let's see, the one that Harbor Rail, boy, that's had a long history. Most recently, it was it Dunnigan's? I think Dunnigan's Pub was the pub after being Dunnigan's Pub. Before that was a bike store in that location. And then I'm not sure what might have gone in between, but there had been a Bridgman's there at one time. I'm quite sure when I was first frequenting Two Harbors back in the 70s sometime, this would have been after it was a drugstore, but they'd had a full counter. And if it wasn't a Bridgman's, it was comparable to a Bridgman's, but I'm pretty sure it was a Bridgman's.
So ice cream.
Yes, yep, ice cream, and I suppose basic sandwiches and stuff too. And there used to be more of them in Duluth as well. There is still one up across across Maple Grove there from Target. Those were the good old days. There is good ice cream available in town now too, so we're not suffering that way, I guess. But
I'll have to ask you for your list.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to start. I might miss somebody, so I won't go there unless anybody else happens to mention it. And I will mention, we are extending this prompt through next week's episode as well. Partly, we had a nice box in the Lake County Press this week announcing our program and the prompt. So to give people more time to respond to it, if you can send us your thoughts, written or recorded, by next Wednesday night, we'll include them in next week's show.
And in fact, we are taking responses to any of the prompts that we have submitted so far. So there are still people giving us their songs from last week or feelings and thoughts about the weather.
Right.
From the first episode.
Right. This weird winter was the topic of our first two episodes. And we got responses across the spectrum. And that's one of our policies. You can respond to previous prompts at any time. And the prompt of the week will be prioritized up front in the show. But as a matter of fact, we'll be hearing some songs for the rest of the hour today, leftover. We heard all of the people's submissions, what they had to say about their songs, but we played...
received a couple that were compelling, yeah.
Right.
Since then.
And didn't get to play all of the songs. We've had a couple new ones since that episode, and then we will also share some of the full songs that people mentioned, that there wasn't time in the episode to play all of the songs themselves. We just shared what people had to say about them and parts of some of the full songs for the shorter ones. I think that we're probably ready to launch into that part of...
Okay. Jane Timke.
Right.
Sent us a long excerpt about her musical choice, and I'll share it with you here. Speeding across South Australia outback,
wires paralleling a two-lane highway stretching ahead forever, no speed limit. Shiny phone lines strung endlessly across a vast landscape, and I was thinking about one of the purest, most evocative love songs I know. Glenn Campbell singing Jimmy Webb's Wichita Lineman. I gave my mother Glenn Campbell's album, Wichita Lineman, for her birthday present some year around 1968. She loved it. Like me, she wasn't a fan of Campbell's Good Time Hour TV show, which was a bit corny, but she liked his music. My mom was a good singer, and she'd sing along with the album. Along with Cream, John Mayall, and the Beatles, I would listen to Wichita Lineman while I ironed shirts in the living room and the ironing board set up next to the hi-fi speaker. Many years later, my mom, who had Alzheimer's disease, remembered the words to seemingly every popular song she'd ever sung or listened to. She was a jazzy mom. You could name a song and she would sing or hum a few lines. It was kind of amazing and was kind of a game. If I didn't actually hear her sing Wichita Lineman, I know she would have loved singing along with Glenn Campbell. A few years after my mother died, I was introduced to the movie The Wrecking Crew, a wonderful documentary about a highly sought-after, loose collective of L.A. studio musicians in the 60s and 70s that made hits out of everything they touched. I didn't know that Glenn Campbell had done studio work as a guitarist with that group, and that they backed his recording of Wichita Lineman. I started listening to the song on YouTube when I needed a lift. I love the song. Recently, I watched 2014 documentary, Glenn Campbell, I'll Be Me. Filmmakers accompanied Campbell from his diagnosis of Alzheimer's through several years of his goodbye tour across America with his family band. He kept on singing. His voice was beautiful as ever, and still playing the technically brilliant guitar of a former studio musician. Here he is, up there, larger than life, having fun on stage, playing until it was time for him to leave. And the Wichita Lineman is still on the line, and I'm doing fine. Wichita Lineman is my song. Glenn Campbell died in 2017 at the age of 81. My mother had died in 2016 at 88. Thank you, Jane.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another. In the wire, and I can hear you through the whine, and the Wichita line is still on the line. I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time. And the Wichita line.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Jane, for sharing your background on that piece and finding that particular recording for us. Very moving. We also heard from Moose, Bruce the Moose, after our song episode. He had a couple to suggest. Book of Rules, which we will share with you here momentarily, and also Shoot Out the Lights. That's a little bit long one. We may play part of that coming up. But also, he didn't really give any background. Those are just two of his favorite tunes. But he ended his email with, "What seems to be my philosophy of life tune, however, is I get by with little help from my friends." Or as he put it, "I get by with more than a little help from my friends," which I nominate to be KTWH's theme song. We get by with more than a little help from our friends and supporters and listeners. Thank you all. So we will hear his Book of Rules. We may fade that out partway through to make room for everything we want to get in here this morning still, and something else after that, too. Okay, this is Book of Rules, I should have mentioned, is by the Heptones. And that was a contribution suggestion from Bruce, our own Bruce the Moose. Next up, this is also going out to Bruce.
So we've got 10 minutes.
What would you think if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends. I get high with a little help from my friends. Gonna try with a little help from my friends. What do I
This is probably a song familiar to most of you. Near and dear to our hearts. Thank you, Moose, for bringing that up. We want to move on here, so I'm going to unilaterally decide here. This is a song. So Michelle Miller and I had both responded when this was the prompt for the KGUA Writers Program, and they shared our written submissions. But they didn't have time on that show to share anybody's actual songs. I'm going to play the one that I brought up because I think it's probably not known to most people. Gordon Bach, his Brandy Tree, otherwise known as the Otter's Song, and is about an otter, which was inspired by his encounter with an otter. And I've had lots of encounters with otters through a particular chapter of my life, and so this really is a dear song to me, and I look forward to sharing it with you right now.
I go down to the brandy tree, take my nose and my tail with me, all for the world and the wind to see, never come back no more.
It's a favorite song of mine, and I encourage people to Google Gordon Bach, Anne Mayo Muir, and Ed Trickett. They were a trio. This was just Gordon by himself, but they did a lot of lovely music back a few decades ago, I guess. So we just have time here to play Michelle Miller's chosen tune that she wrote about in the KGUA Writers segment, and I think we shared that at some point. Maybe we didn't.
Oh, if it was not, it's on SoundCloud.
Right, it's on SoundCloud. It was part of the whole episode of songs that I believe we shared a few weeks ago. Okay, here it goes.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, The Sky is Crying.
Thank you for mentioning that. And Life by the Drop is the name of the tune. That went out to Michelle Miller. Thank you for your participation in the KGUA program, and we look forward to engaging you more with this one as well. So the time is 11:59. I have half a minute to remind you that our email for this program is ktwhwriters@gmail.com. You can get more information about the show. You can get on our email list to get a direct personal email once a week with the prompt of the week. The deadline is Wednesday nights, but we also welcome responses to previous prompts. Actually, this particular week, we are extending this one about businesses you may remember from days gone by in Two Harbors, or ones you'd like to see here. We'll especially be focusing on that prompt for the next week and next week's show. So if you can get those in by next Wednesday evening, that would be great. And the shows, the previous shows are all archived at KTWH. Under the programs dropdown, you'll find one listing for listeners' voices. And all three of them so far are there, but today's episode will be posted by this weekend sometime. And the current or the next prompt will also be accessible there on that page.
Once we decide what it is.
Right. But for now, we're continuing with this business's lost or yearned for in Two Harbors. We thank all of our contributors.